We are Cahoots. This is RedExtra.ie in association with Red FM, and you're listening to. You're listening to Chattitude.
I aged.
I couldn't remember it.
We always get so into that.
We always kind of do our own thing as well, which for a troupe that likes to pride ourselves in having lovely kind of communication between us, it's a real low point for me when those ditties kick in. Yeah. You're actually blocking us out.
It's a solo.
What are they doing? Oh, brutal.
Artist.
What would I do if I was on my own?
It's constantly going through Tyke's head.
Lads, Dominic.
What are we topicking?
This podcast, we're talking about something that's very dear to us and very important to us as practitioners, and it's humour.
Jokes, funny times.
Funny times, jokes.
Tickle bones.
Funny guys.
Tickle boobs. I'm going to go.
Okay. Tyke, I think we've heard enough from you.
Oh, God.
Tyke, done for the night.
What do you find funny and why, Laura?
Oh, little and nothing. No.
Herself.
No, I do find myself very gassed.
Well, you have to.
You have to find yourself funny.
Otherwise, you're in the wrong game, buddy.
Actually, if you didn't think you were funny, you'd be very cocky to think, I'm not funny at all, but I'm going up now and telling jokes. That's fairly cocky. But all jokes aside.
Get off you now. Get off you.
No, all jokes aside, I actually struggle as an audience member because it takes an awful lot to make me laugh out loud. Because I am one of the worst things to look out at. I'm a smiler. I'm enjoying it. I'm loving whatever's going on. But it would take a lot for me to go, ha ha ha, out loud.
But I know you well enough to know that you have a ha 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 and you know better.
But
so that if I was a performer and I know you and you're not laughing out loud at me, I know that I'm terrible. Obviously it hasn't gone great.
That's the affliction of having to go to stuff now as well. People think, look at her big judgmental head, because I think that. We have actor friends that I'm like, when they're in the audience, I'm like, oh, look at them hating it.
It's very hard to make Dom laugh out loud as well.
Yes.
I think you're actually slightly easier to make laugh out loud than Dom.
I don't want us to be talking about ourselves, but I think within this trio, I laugh out loud an awful lot because I do find us all gas.
Mm.
But it's more like, I think what it is, honestly.
Could I just say tickle boobs once more?
Please, tickle boobs.
I think
sponsored by Tickle Boobs.
Stuff and accent, I think why I laugh so much in this group is because it's all kind of layer joke on top. I don't even know what I'm laughing at sometimes.
Why I laugh so much in this group is because I've had an awful lot of sadness in my life and I've been long enough crying, I suppose, and I might as well laugh now with the few years I've left would be my motto. Can I jump in? Nobody's actually talking.
Please jump in on yourself, Tyke.
I had nothing pre-planned. What I would say though, just to get it off us now for a moment, I know what you're saying. I would find watching comedy shows or stand-up would often not be the funniest moments of my day at all.
People
at all.
Often say to me, have you seen this stand-up? Have you seen that stand-up? And I'd have to say, I don't really sit and watch much stand-up.
I don't enjoy stand-up that much.
I enjoy performing it. I don't particularly enjoy watching it.
I don't mind it. I like going to the Cocoa Club. I like to give a shout-out, actually, to the Cocoa Club, if I can, to our good friend, our great friend, actually, Cornelius Patrick O'Sullivan. He runs a lovely little club. I like going in there. It's a bit smaller. It's a bit more friendly. I like that kind of vibe. Yeah. But as regards going to a stand-up, at an event or a gig or whatever, I don't know, I just don't enjoy it.
However, there are some stand-ups.
I'm just conscious Dominic's trying to come in.
Said nothing there.
Laz, it's okay. Please talk away.
I think I laugh when I recognise, myself. Do you know what I mean? We'll say Chris Kent, when he's a Cork comedian, but he's more national than that, more international than that. But there's something about his humour that would make me laugh out loud because I can directly connect to it. So it is about connecting with it for me.
Dom, Dominate, for the love of frogs, come in.
Lads, I've just been hanging back, formulating my thoughts.
Were you napping?
Chris, I had a little micro nap and I was crystallising my thoughts during the nap. I think that as people who work in comedy, we're probably hypercritical as well.
Mm.
We really scrutinise other comedians, and I'm not saying that we don't want them to be funny, but we are very, very aware of what's possibly making them not funny. We really pay attention to that, I think.
Yeah.
I think I find people funniest who aren't trying to be funny.
Yes, I almost feel
like I disagree with the idea that you have to know you're funny in order to be funny, or you have to think you're funny in order to be funny.
No, but I think you have to think you're funny in order to do stand-up, which is different.
Potentially, yeah. Yeah. Because like the funniest people that I know are people who behave very naturally and aren't aware of how funny they are. As soon as they start trying to be funny, it all goes out the window.
Mm.
So I think there's something like, whether it's a self-deprecation or just like a naturalism where you're not aware that you're doing funny things, that for me is probably the funniest.
Mm.
I also think that, I'm coming in with all my points here because no, I have plenty of time sitting
totally
out.
They're totally welcome. They're totally welcome.
I love watching somebody trying to hold it together. Like, you know, there are certain films or TV series where they show you the like the bloopers reel or something like that. Bloopers. That can be way more funny than the actual film itself, because you're watching two people who are trying with all their might to hold in laughter and there's some look or there's some glint in their eye.
Yeah.
And I just think that's absolutely hilarious.
I love bloopers. I would trawl the archives looking at bloopers. But I think what is making me laugh in the bloopers is the fact that these people are human. Like if you watch bloopers for like Frasier or for The Office or for even Friends or anything, like, oh my God, it's the fact that they're enjoying it, that they appreciate that it's funny, that it was funny enough originally to make them crack up. Like that what, you know, the end product that we saw, they had to get through the making of it. Like a bit like when we make sketches, like, I'd love to see more of our bloopers because we're hysterical at each other often, and that shows how much the comedians are enjoying it.
It also shows
that's
as well
a bit wanky.
No, not at all. It just shows that other people say, like, the extras, you know, the Ricky Gervais and Steve Martin's extras, those bloopers just absolutely crack me up, because you can see as well
Keith Chegwin.
Keith, unbelievable. You can see how much they all seem to be getting on with each other in that period anyway. They're all having a laugh, and that's very attractive as an audience member as well. Yeah. So not only is it very funny, but you're like, oh, they all got on great. And now you're right there with them in the spirit of the day. Like,
you want to think that they're all friends.
Yeah.
Like when I hear stories about, like, you know, the fact, like in Frasier, for example, there's a few, you know, that Kelsey Grammer might have been on the drink a few times or whatever. The same with like Chandler and Friends or whatever. When I hear those stories, they make me sad, because I had this sense that they were all having great crack in the green room, having their lunch and great, you know, so that makes me sad. Then the kind of breaking down of that beautiful narrative that I'm buying into.
I like watching things being filmed where you kind of feel like they're trying to make each other laugh.
Yes.
Like Step Brothers comes to my mind.
Oh, yeah.
John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell, if you've ever watched the outtakes of that, they're trying to make each other laugh the whole time. Like every single outtake is one of them making the other laugh and the other guy getting annoyed going, like, why did you do that? Or why did you say it that way? And I just think
that's why it's so electric with, then. Yeah. Jumps off the screen, like.
With David Brent and Tim, like, there's one blooper where the guy, what's the guy, Martin Freeman.
I was going to say Martin Short. No, Martin Freeman.
That plays Tim. There's one part where he says to Ricky, he's like, why would you make that noise?
Why would you
that new noise that I wasn't ready for? And I think it's them being on the edge. I think that's probably what I like about watching.
Well, back when I loved Ricky Gervais, and he'd like throw in an extra or in The Office where apparently like he'd often throw in like a new line per take or whatever. And I just thought, to have the bravery on your first big project to just be sitting in, like, his seemed to be his main priority in that. It seemed to be anyway, looking at it, like, especially the bloopers, was to be having a laugh with people around him that he thought were very funny as well. And that spirit, I think, is like, that's what you're aiming for, I think.
I think it's important to keep that spirit as well and not let it be like kind of beaten out of you as you'd go further up, like by the kind of corporate machine or the corporate world, that you have to fight for that, like, that chance to just laugh with each other. Do you know what I mean? As opposed to being like, come on, guys, we're on the clock, like, blah, blah, blah.
But like, let's forget about comedy as a professional outlet for a moment. Like, what made you laugh when you, like, when did you first realise you enjoyed to laugh?
God.
But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I do know what you mean.
That first feeling of laughter, like, was it from a show? Was it from other people? Were there funny people in your life when you were a kid?
Well, I mean, my father, I once referred to him as a professor of humorology. That's what they thought his role job title was, which I'd love to know if there's actually professors of humorology out there. Lads, if you're listening to the show and you're a professor of humorology, please call in. I know it's a podcast and we don't have a phone number, but please do call in. So he would have always been a joke teller growing up. And he's written joke books. He's written controversial joke books about certain messiahs that I won't name.
No way.
Yeah. He wrote a Jesus joke book.
I just mentioned it there.
Yeah. Laura just said it.
David Duchovny.
Yeah.
No.
My father's David Duchovny. Yeah, sorry. So I think humor was always big for us growing up, but not just like laughing at his jokes, also studying the structure of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he would always tell a joke. He still does it nowadays. And instead of laughing at it, we go, hmm, I think it would be funnier if you did it this way. It drives him bananas. But I think he is kind of what inspired me to get into humour in terms of structure.
Okay.
My mum and dad are both very funny.
Very funny guys.
Now, you'd have to... A lot of people would assume that I get my sense of humour from my dad because my dad is a raconteur and kind of storyteller and generally
nice word, well
lovely,
used.
Lovely man.
Great word.
But actually, my mother also has a really irreverent sense of humour.
I find your mother electrically funny.
She is gas. Yeah. And like she'd be... You know, what happens to Mam is like in front of... kind of important in inverted commas people, Mam gets worse. So like I remember priests called into our house as priests used to do back in the day, and Mam, like it'd be the one time Mam would say arsey warsey or something in front of them or something worse. Mam be like, I'll get you a fucking cup of tea there now, Father. And then she'd be like, oh Jesus Christ, I'm saying, you know,
Jesus just, tickle boobs.
Yeah, exactly. But she's just such an irreverent person, and I think that I don't ever remember a time where I wasn't laughing, I think, when I was small. As the youngest of the family, with a very serious older brother and a lovely sister, and I was always laughing. I was always having the crack. Do you know what I mean? Because as the youngest, I think you're free to have the crack. You don't have to be the serious older one. You don't have to be the kind of middle child. You are the youngest. You're like, let's have crack.
And I think not only do you not have to be serious or whatever it is, I think as the youngest, often your job is to be the entertainer.
Yes.
Like you're the one who can diffuse situations by being the kind of, look at me and I'm, you know, making a joke or I'm dancing or I'm doing whatever, you know.
And often I feel like, I sometimes talk to my mom about stuff that happened when I was small, like remember this, and she's like, I don't remember that. But I feel like I was an observer as well. I was already observing life around me because I was the smallest and the youngest. I was kind of looking and watching on and like watching dynamics and stuff. But I don't ever remember not laughing.
I think for me as well, just as you were talking there, is like when I was a kid, I don't ever remember kind of being all that attracted to jokes. Like you're kind of talking about jokes there, which is interesting. Like my in and out would be different and it would always be true characters. And it's stuff that's ended up being in our work a lot, where we've all ended up kind of like coming at stuff through the prism of a character. And my earliest memories of like characters either like in my family or around my family, they all just had that really, you know, wonderfully idiosyncratic Cork way of looking at things, whatever. And that's the kind of, that's the version of humour that I was first exposed to. Like, not so much jokes, but just, and it could be very deadpan as well. Like, long before, like, the kind of deadpan humour, like, you know, of kind of whatever, like Ricky Gervais and all that kind of stuff. Like, when people were larger than life, I used to find that kind of okay. But, like, really deadpan funny Cork people, I think they just do it wonderfully. That's all I have to say on that topic at the moment.
I have to say, and I know I'm going to get flack for this, I'm a big pun guy.
Yes, you are.
I like puns.
I think they're quite skillful. I know they're probably considered the lowest form of humour. Is that correct?
No, I don't think they are. No. Sarcasm is the lowest form of wit.
Okay.
Well, I quite enjoy sarcasm. But no, I think puns are just...
You kind of have a pun addiction, though.
I do. It's a problem.
I think you can't resist. I think once you know there's a pun there, you have to say it.
I do.
And that's all
right. I have to get it out of my system. For example, I remember playing... Do you know the board game Risk?
I do.
It's a great game. It takes hours to play, but it's a great game. Big Box as well. Well, you see, here we go. Here we go, right?
He made a joke.
He made a joke and he kind of spoiled mine. But anyway, so I'm about to bring the box with me away from my brother's apartment because we've been playing it there. I was going to bring it home.
Hit me and tell me.
And I was trying to fit it into my backpack and it didn't fit properly. So the top of the box was sticking out. And John said, are you going to carry it like that? And I said, no, it's too big a risk.
That's a lovely pun.
And that was great. And it was like at the, you know, it wasn't premeditated. Mm. And like, I almost only stumbled upon it as I was saying
it.
Yeah.
But that's an accidental one. But I do find in everyday life, I know the exact struggle you have, right? I often find if I'm online and somebody who I might think is a Wally asks a question on Facebook, that I know the answer to.
Names and addresses, right? Please.
Even though, name and shame, even though I'm like, I wouldn't talk to this person walking down the street. If I know the answer to the question, I feel the need to chime in. And it's the same, I think, with you at puns. It's like, I see the pun, I know it's there. I could leave it hanging, but I know it. I have to go for it.
Look, I'll just make it.
I'll just make it, yeah.
The chips
puns are very clever.
Would you even extend that just round to jokes though, like little gags? So like if you're in a new group of people, say you're working on and stuff, whatever, and like you're only saying maybe a tenth of the gags going through your head.
Yeah.
Do you ever find that? You know, we're just like, if I keep on cracking gags here, I'm now going to be the gag guy who's wrecking the day.
Do you know what? Since I've become, like, we'll say, since I've come out as a stand-up comedian, right? We'll say, like, the official capital letters does stand-up. I actually find within my own group of friends, I can sometimes feel them kind of being like, is she doing her stand-up? Which would never, ever, ever have been a question before. But sometimes if I'm on a roll of having great crack and everyone's enjoying the crack, it's not just me, like, doing a monologue.
Everyone's enjoying me, like,
but
my
I'm
performance.
Like, something happens inside me where I'm like, oh my God, they think I'm just doing my set now. Or they think like, oh God. And then I become very unfunny because I'm so aware of it now, because I don't want people to be like, oh, that's Laura, she's doing her stand up.
Do you ever get worn out from yourself? Not you personally, but as a joke, you know, when like
I find you very tiring.
I find myself very tiring at times though, like I've over joked. Do you ever over joke in a day? There's I need to go into a room on my own then and just like just let myself rest.
There are some times when I come home from Cahoots and I'm exhausted.
Oh, you'd be worn out.
Oh my God, me and Tyke had a gig in Listowel one time and we were doing a stand up gig and we basically just roared at each other. No, lovey, we missed you. We had it up and down the one day. It took us about 8 hours because I went a weird way, and when he got out of the car my ears were just ringing because we roared laughing for 8 hours.
I was in bed till Tuesday that time.
Well, it's very high intensity. I mean, it's very enjoyable, but you don't want to be exposed to it for 12 hours
a day.
No,
well, Shane
helps.
Says this. Hello, Shane O'Mahony, first reference of the podcast.
Took ages. Get your head out of the stew.
Laura's
Shane
husband.
O'Mahony said to me one night really earnestly, he was like, Laura, do you want me to be like Tyke and Dom? And I was like, how do you mean? And he was like, you know, do you want it to be that kind of level of jokes and humour and crack all the time? And I said, Shane, you are my husband. I would hate that. Like, that would be unsustainable. That's it. I said, absolutely not. I was like, God almighty, were you expecting that? And he was like, well, I just thought, you know, you get on so well with them. Like, is that what you want at home as well? I was like, at home, I want to be in my pyjamas, wearing my slippers, with my hair stuck up, scraped up in an old bun.
There's actually a brand, I believe it's a brand of yoga. It's called Laughter Yoga.
Yes.
Or is this like a laughter class?
Stretch.
I've heard of it. But don't worry,
you go there to lose weight because laughing is actually an extremely energetic process.
Yeah. Oh, sure, I should be like Twiggy.
I should be like Twink.
I should be like Twinkie.
So, as a physiological activity, you burn loads of calories laughing. So that would suggest that it's actually really tiring. Like you can't laugh all day.
It's exhausting.
The day that we kind of realized our comedic tastes were all the same, I remember we were working on The Fear, and we were just making each other crack up the entire morning. But come lunchtime,
gone.
We were exhausted. We really were
exhausted.
And lunchtime was like the first kind of chance to talk to everyone else. I'd say we came across really antisocial because we just like, hey, yeah.
But that first day that we had, like, I've had days like that in college, in school, you know, where you just realize, oh, he is up for the type of crack I'm up for. That's one of the most glorious moments in life, I think. You're not saying that you're funnier than other people,
no,
but you're on some sort of, it's like you're tuned in. It's like tuning in a radio station, like Red FM, Cork's Red FM.
Red FM.
And you're just on that buzz. Can I jump in, lads?
You're already
you're
in
still
love.
Talking,
Just keep paddling.
But can I raise a quick point on that point? What Jerry Seinfeld raised before. Were you in school with people that you thought were possibly funnier than you? Because I can think of a couple of people, and Jerry's outlook on it is, they may well have been, they didn't work hard enough afterwards, or they didn't want to pursue comedy. But I can think of at least one or two boys that I went to school with that I would go home when I first realised that I at least wanted to be funny. And that became then my absolute preoccupation. I remember going home and having sleepless nights going, I think he's funnier than me. Because I was like, this is going to be my thing. So if there's people better than me, I'm lost.
I think my brother John is funnier than I am.
Do you think?
Yeah,
I haven't spent enough time with him.
He's very, very funny.
He's got a different type of humour to you, actually.
True.
He's got a different type of humour to you, but...
And surprise, surprise, over here, the answer is no. I didn't think anyone was funnier than me.
I'm an angel and a princess.
Oh, shocker.
However...
The queen of comedy.
I did think a load of people in kind of... Once I got into drama, we'll say, into like doing drama classes and stuff. Once I got into that, I remember being like, oh, she's better than me, he's better than me, blah, blah, in terms of drama. Never in terms of comedy, though. Except maybe Laura Hart.
I tell you one thing, girl, I would give €100 million to have 10 minutes in your brain.
I do remember Laura Hart, she's my best friend in the whole world. When she joined my drama class when we were in college, she joined my like external drama class with Declan Wolfe. And I remember being like, oh my God, because I had been the golden child of my class. And then Laura came in and Declan thought she was gas as well. And I was like, oh my God, you are the usurper. I've introduced my own usurper.
And she's also called Laura.
She's also called Laura. She's just going to do, yeah. But she, Laura, I do consider that Laura would be, I would say, equally funny as me.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think I would. Are you okay, Tyke? Tyke is just, oh my God, releasing
some gas.
He tried
to burp off.
I actually tried to
burp
off. Sorry, lads. I had a lot of peanuts
can
earlier.
Can I just say that with...
And a jummy dodger.
With Laura Hart, we had that moment in college of like, oh my God, you're gas. We had met each other the first day of auditions for drama and then we didn't speak to each other for 6 months. Even though she had weirdly broken her ankle and I kind of carried her bags and stuff, we didn't realise that we were like fun for about 6 months.
I carried her like St. Christopher carried the Christ child.
But then we were rehearsing for a play and we started
you
talking.
You break her ankle.
I smashed it to bits. So she wouldn't come to my drama classes.
Yeah.
But we started talking about Father Ted and there was a moment where we started talking about Pat Mustard, the milkman fella, and that was like, oh my
bonding.
God, the 6 months of weird silence sorted.
I think you can determine if somebody has the same sense of humour as you or if they're on the same page as what you were talking about a while ago, what quotes they use from things.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, if somebody quotes things from Father Ted, if they quote Father Jack, I kind of know straight away, they're not really going to be my sense of humour.
Yeah.
If they quote Father Dougal, I'm like, that's a bit better than Father Jack, but still not my level. If they quote Ted, then I'm starting to think, okay, I kind of like this person now. Or like really obscure priests.
I was going to say, if they quote the Brendan Grace character or something, that's the only thing that's going to alert any interest in me now, I have to say.
Bishop Len Brennan would tickle my fancy.
Yeah.
I'd
be sceptical about a Father Ted quoting lad
generally speaking.
Oh, well, I think
just
it
a
also,
lot of Father Ted quotes.
The amount of quotes is key. Like if somebody's talking to me and they've used maybe four quotes, I'm like, good luck, Jay, you've no original material.
Well, I'd like
I
to see
across like a bit of a dose in these podcasts.
Bitch.
No.
But you're a bitch in time and you save nine ultimately.
There you go. I think you mentioned it earlier, Tig. Like
Yominic
about
English.
When you're with people you don't know. Like
yes,
I said, I'm a pun guy, but not with people I don't know.
Yes.
I'm really not, because like, I feel I have to be a little bit protective of my sense of humour when I'm with new people.
Mm.
I don't really expand fully. But like, I might make a subtle comment about something, and if somebody else picks up on that,
this
then I start
it.
To think,
this is it. Yeah.
I could be on the same page as this person. Puns would be the last step of the equation. Like, I only feel safe to pun with you guys and maybe my family.
And I'd give anything for you to feel
stop.
Unsafe.
You've created a safe space for me to pun.
I feel as I get older that what I like to do is I like to put my sense of humour out there with new people, balls out. Like, absolutely go straight in with like, ba-da! And if anyone's on for it, then I'm like, brilliant. Don't have to bother with the small talk here now. Let's get to the crack.
I think as an adult, I've become way more likely to mess with people.
Ooh.
Just in the general public. Like,
I think
for
you're
example,
better as an adult than a child.
Thank
can
you.
I say that?
Thank you very much. And that, no, that actually means a lot to
You've
me.
You've made a lovely adult.
I thought you were a strange child.
Man.
Thank you.
Monster as a junior in bed.
Monster munch.
Beast.
Go on, Don. Sorry,
man.
Finish your point.
I was on a plane recently returning home from Berlin.
Snakes
on a plane.
I knew
you were going to say that. And I was sitting betwixt. No, I wasn't betwixt. I was sitting in the window seat and there was a gentleman beside me and a lady.
Sitting out the window.
A lady beside him. And I looked across the aisle and there was a spare seat across the way. And there was a guy on the inside. So there were actually two spare seats, in fact. And this is a very long story, but
no,
I'm going to get
it.
To the point. I thought to myself, I'm stuck in by the window. I'd love to have a bit of leg room. As soon as the plane doors close, I'm going to jump across and I'm going to sit in that seat. I'm going to have more leg room. The two people beside me are going to have more space. It's a win-win situation. So as soon as the cabin doors closed and it was like, okay, please take your seats and put your seatbelts on. I was like, sorry, can I just get out past you there? I'm going to go across to the seat. So they both let me out and I sat in the seat. Everything's rosy. And I could hear.
Where was your girlfriend sitting?
We weren't sitting beside each other because it's Ryanair.
Oh, fair.
Yeah.
And they randomly assign your seats unless you decide them yourselves. So I was getting myself comfy in the seat and I could hear the two people back in my previous row talking to each other and they were like, God, that's much better now. Or like, we've so much more space. Or that's fantastic. And I turned to them and I was like, lads, I can come back if you want. And the woman was like, ah, no, but we still love you. But no, you're fine. So
nice
I like,
little banter. Like,
I like
yeah,
finding
I like that too,
like
yeah.
public messing opportunities or like with people in a shop who's serving you to make a joke or something like that.
And I think it makes your day a bit better. Do you know, sometimes I'd be going around there, I'd be pushing the buggy around Mahon Point and I'd be like,
because most people are off for a bit of crack.
Yeah.
That's most what, people that's are off for a bit of crack. That's what it took me a while to
realise. Totally. Yeah. And having worked in a bookshop for years, oh my God, the customer that used to come in and be a bit of crack was like a gift from God. Mm. It's like, thank God you've restored, like you could be having a day where you're hating the world and hating all the customers and this one little joyous person pops in, you're like, yes. Life is saved.
I remember, this is another long convoluted story that I'm going to grace you with.
I remember 62, just a little bit of Rock and Roll Kids.
A little bit of Rock and Roll Kids there. I remember being in Sweden and I remember sitting on a park
interrailing
bench. Did you go through any recession now? I remember being in Sweden and I was sitting outside a cafe and I was eating some manner of chips, I believe. And I asked the woman across the way who was sitting there reading a paper, quite an attractive Swedish lady, very sophisticated looking, maybe in her
late 30s,
early 40s. And I said, because they all speak English, I was like, sorry, could you pass the ketchup, please? And she just looked up from her newspaper, looked me in the eye and goes, no. Back to her newspaper. So I'm sitting there going, what? Like, is this some kind of, have I caused some kind of Swedish faux pas here? Like, and then after about 10 seconds of leaving me hanging, she looks up and she gives me a big smile and then she passes the ketchup over. And I was like, I like this
Swedish
woman.
Banter.
Yeah,
I like enjoy that really she committed dry. To the 10
yeah,
seconds.
Yeah, yeah. That's an eternity.
She
like.
Really good, kept me hanging. It felt like 10 minutes. She really kept me hanging.
Oh, well, like we're keeping the listeners
dead
space, there for a minute.
Dead space.
Let's wait.
Can I jump back in? Because I think we're talking about ourselves too much.
I love talking about myself.
I know, I'm only joking.
Okay, well, can I jump in with something then, Tig? What do you find?
No, I'm jumping in with something.
Go on, Lars.
No, I'm not.
Okay. What do you find not funny?
Oh,
so for example,
Siobhan's.
For example, like the popularity of something like Mrs. Brown's Boys.
Mm.
Do you understand it? Do you find it baffling or do you find it funny?
It's actually what's interesting about my brain is that as it goes
I
on,
we weren't supposed to be talking about ourselves.
Keatsian mind, and although as I get older, I get much less wanky. I have to say, because I'd say 10 years ago, I would have been in that group of people going, "Oh, Mr. Brown's Boys, so shit! Like, why is this not doing creative stuff?" But now I actually really like.
Can we have him in the arts?
I admire the work ethic behind it. I admire that, like, it's just a style of humor, I suppose, that I'm personally not mad about, but I think it's very effective. Like, it's like bump, bump, bang. It hits the spots. It's kind of anarchic in its own weird way. It's actually new in its own way.
Breaking
it's
the fourth
joyful.
Wall is
it breaks
interesting.
The fourth wall.
Yeah.
Like we were talking about earlier, you're looking at people loving each other, I would say, loving having the crack. I would rather watch that any day of the week than a new wanky indie comedy that isn't as strong as it thinks it is.
Okay.
Right. I would have to say that I love Mrs. Brown's Boys because, like, I've seen my mom and dad absolutely start laughing at it and I enjoy it. And I also feel like Brendan O'Carroll, get mixed up with me Brendans, Brendan O'Carroll was like just on the circuit for years and years and years, plugging away. I'd say a lot of the big wigs were ignoring him completely and just being like, go away, you annoying man. And like, I remember him being on the Late Late Show and stuff when like I was very small and he was kind of doing nothing. And he bloody fair play to him. Look what he's done now. Do you know?
He was like, actually electric in Late Late Show appearances as well though. He'd always like light up, do you know?
You'd be mad about him. And I just think fair play to him. And I am never, like I have laughed out loud at Mrs. Brown's Boys. And I hate that there's a group of people that begrudge it because I actually think you can't ignore it. I think it is joyous.
Having said all that, I don't like it though.
I do like it.
I have to be honest as well. Like, I'm not going to sit down and go, oh wow, like this.
I like the earlier
comedy.
Ones. I'm probably not thrilled with some of the later ones, but I did like some of the early stuff.
Yeah.
I'm ashamed to say that I've actually never seen it.
Never seen an episode. Wow. No.
I'd say you'd hate it.
I don't think I would like it. Now, a bit like what you said, for example, Panto. Yeah. I would struggle if I went to see a Panto I wouldn't laugh. But as I'm getting older, I'm starting to think, well, it's a style of comedy.
Yes.
It's not necessarily the style that you always love or that you're used to. It's a bit like food for me. Like, if lots of people eat something, there must be something to it.
Can I jump in?
Please. Please.
Are you familiar with the stand-up comedian Lee Evans, by any chance?
Yes. I do not like him.
Lee Evans is a perfect example for me because I loved Lee Evans when I was 15 or 16. And then I went through probably, like, you know, the guts of 20 years not liking him. Are you all right? You're getting sick. Just for our listeners there, Dom's after getting sick in a bucket.
Dom doesn't like Lee Evans so much.
Lee Evans brings up an
Lee Evans is an emetic.
But I'm back liking Lee Evans. I saw, I like Comedy Central or whatever, I was flicking through channels there over Christmas and he came on. Claire Bear will testify this. And
I was
laughing my nose and my eyes out. I really had a great time with him.
I was pissing myself.
I was drenched.
Covered in pish.
Pissing.
But I have to say, though, I do think it's interesting that, like, I've definitely gone on that, like, what's funny and what's credible and what's cool journey to the point now where, like, what's making me laugh. So I can still like indie stuff all day long.
Could you not clap, Doug? You're going to spike the mics.
I will clap. But I like Lee Evans again. That's all I want to say on that.
I found Lee Evans. I saw him live, in fact, in the Opera House.
Serious?
Yeah, and I found him very poor.
Really?
I didn't like... Well, he was kind of phoning it in. He had his material written out in a sheet and, you know, he'd go to the back of the stage and he'd kind of be saying how he really was underprepared for the show, etc. And I found his only technique was he'd say a joke and then he'd go... afterwards.
Serious?
And that's what got the audience
to
laugh.
This guy's like trained with the French clowns, mate. Like,
look,
as
man,
a physical comedian,
they're a bunch
French
of clowns. They're a bunch of clowns.
Do you not
clowns.
Think he was a good physical performer, though, no?
Oh, I agree. I actually like him as an actor.
Yeah.
In Something About Mary, I found that he gave
a very good performance.
I hated him in Something About Mary.
Did you?
I did. I kind of hated
comedy,
Something About
subjective.
Mary as well. No, it isn't, isn't it? Mm. I just don't know what makes me laugh. Something could rightly tickle my fancy.
For example, Tig's laugh makes Laura laugh.
It depends. It depends on the day. It depends on the mood. It just depends on everything, doesn't it? The setting has to be right.
It all depends.
The setting has to be right.
I won't laugh till I have my slippers on. I'm on the couch. I'm after a steak. And I'm forked my breakfast.
My breakfast.
But can I just say, why I started all this? I will still laugh more on a bus. I like to get buses. I know you're not a big
no,
bus.
No, I'm a huge bus guy, Tig.
I'm only joking. No, I do. Listening
and you drive, in fact.
Oh, I drive, but I won't drive if there's a bus around. Overhearing little Cork conversations, I have to say as well, I would like just get back to the pretentious thing of, like, you know, Joyce really captured the consciousness of Dublin, like, you know. I would love to do that in Cork and obviously a much smaller, and I would probably never go on to world renowned.
This won't come to anything.
I'm not saying I'm Joyce for a moment.
You're the Cork Joyce.
But all jokes aside though, it's still like just walking around Patrick Street on any given day, I will laugh more inside my own head just listening to people talking. It's always people. I find people endlessly funny.
As and opposed to dogs or cats.
As opposed to lines of dialogue stripped from the person. And I'll always find people pottering around Patrick Street, chatting amongst themselves, way funnier than I would say 95% of stand-up comedians.
This beautifully ties us back to the beginning where I was saying I think it's people who
I'm a beautiful guy.
Aren't aware of the fact they're being funny. It's just them naturally.
Yes. Well, when I used to work in the aforementioned bookshop, Liam Russell's, which is now sadly closed.
Other bookshops are available.
Yes, and Liam Russell's isn't available anymore.
Tiger's just spat water all over himself.
So when I was working there, we used to get all sorts of fantastic people in. And again, they were just Cork people saying Cork things.
Yes.
This woman came up to me one day and she was like, sorry, I'm looking for a light up atlas. And I was just like, my good God, what is that? She was looking for a globe. That she could plug a plug-in globe, but she called it a light-up atlas.
Brilliant.
And we were once asked for we used to sell cribs as well, and she was like, "I'm looking for a crib with a same woman." I'd say, "I'm looking
I'm
for,
looking for a crib with a light-up atlas."
I'm looking for a crib with a nice rink outside of it, and I was just like, "Sorry, what?"
Nice
the notion of Jesus on his roller skates. And she just wanted a kind of a snowy crib, is what she was after. But those were the moments we lived.
I hope she's not wearing roller skates in the ice rink.
We lived. Then we just same one in another day. Then she was. Like, I'm looking for syphilis. Have you got syphilis?
Oh, Jesus.
What did she mean?
Actually, an English book called Chrysalis.
Oh. I remember
which
it.
We did have.
I remember it well.
Thankfully, syphilis was not available in Liam Russell's at that
well,
point.
Well, I don't know.
Well, guys, that's us.
Oh, that was a treat. That
that's
was a
an
joke.
Absolute treat. I hope you found it as funny as we have found each other.
I certainly find each other very funny.
Well, I find laughing
thing.
So funny.
I just find laughing
I
is
just
hilarious.
Love to laugh.